Hello and welcome to a new episode of Good Questions, Real Answers. My name is Kimberly and this is Monty Judah, our director here at Lion and Lamb Ministries. And we are so happy you've joined us today. We have more questions again and we are so excited that you've decided to study with us and come along for the journey. So Monty, we'll jump right in.
Amen.
All right, here we go. This question is from Kenny. Kenny asks if Rabbi Monty can help young men and boys to talk about adultery and give understanding and insight on how to overcome such temptations that are on the internet and strange women and girls and that wear inappropriate clothing in public to not make them sin.
Okay, one of the appetites that God has given us, and he's given us three great appetites to live in this world. Mm-hmm. One is an appetite for food. One is an appetite for your self-esteem, your ego. Mm-hmm. And one is an appetite for sex. Mm-hmm. And we need these three appetites so that we can live and procreate,
right,
and live fully in the world. But at the same time, God has also given us instruction that each of those appetites are to be under control.
Amen.
And there's limitations on those appetites. We're,
yes,
not supposed to eat food to the point of being gluttonous.
Right.
We're not supposed to think so highly of ourselves to where we become egotistical.
Right.
And obviously, when it comes to sexual appetite, we're not supposed to get to the point where our lusts overpower us and control,
yes,
us. And it is a very common thing today in the world for young men and men, because for us, part of that appetite for sex comes through our eyes. It's,
yes,
what we see.
Yes.
And so we have women attired in different ways that is attractive to us. We have pornography that's out in the world that goes,
yeah,
through that. And then we have our own lusts, our own body nature, mm, you know, that is, God made us as men.
Yes.
You know, we have these strong sex drives. That's what makes you to be a father and a husband and provide for. The socially accepted way for you to have sex on a regular basis is for to find a wife and be married.
That's
that
right.
Is the socially accepted way. By the way, that's what God has instituted as the proper way for all of those things to be satisfied,
yes,
for that appetite.
Yes.
However, outside of the bounds of a marital covenant, we have all these other kinds of activities. Now, there are two types of men and boys when it comes to pornography.
Mm-hmm.
There is one group that says, I'm tempted by pornography and I have fallen sometimes. And then there's the other group that lies that they have never seen pornography,
yes,
and they've never been fallen and tempted by it.
Right.
Everybody has to deal with this. And it can be, if it gets control of you, and by the way, it has the ability to burn your house down.
Yes, indeed.
It can do great harm to you. And so it is a temptation that has to be managed on a regular basis. I would encourage you right off the bat, go to 1 Corinthians 10:13, which talks about that every temptation that comes to you is common to every man.
Mm-hmm.
But God is faithful, who has made a way for you to escape.
Yes.
And so what you're always looking for is, these temptations that we have, the weaknesses that we have for these things, look for God's escape plan. Look,
yes,
look how do we do it. Sometimes it's put yourself out of the environment where you would see that.
Exactly.
If you're getting it through the internet, don't go on the internet with that stuff. You know,
right,
go other places. Do other things. If it's a place, a physical place where you've gone, don't go there anymore.
Right.
Abstain from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. If you got a problem seeing young ladies walking around in bikinis out at the beach, don't go to the beach.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If that's a problem for you,
yes,
don't do it. And that's how you would exercise self-control. You're not going to get the world to change.
No, sadly.
This is the world that we live in.
Yes.
This is the world we live in. So you need to take the steps,
yes,
to bring about correction and do it. Now, I can tell you, those are very powerful appetites.
Yes, they
and
are.
And anybody who's having an eating problem or an ego problem or a sex problem, they're going to need help from God.
Yes.
They're going to need real spiritual help. And it works for all those appetites.
Yes.
So in a general sense for this, there are a lot of programs out now,
mm-hmm,
praise God.
Yes.
Didn't used to exist before, that will help you with it. In fact, like the AA for Alcoholics Anonymous,
right,
there,
mm-hmm,
is a program for people caught up in pornography,
yes,
that you can go and be a part of it. You can get help, you know, for dealing with it. But let me just go ahead and tell you, if you're a regular guy, mm-hmm. a healthy man, you're going to have this problem.
Yes.
And you're going to have to deal with it. If you have a wife, she can help you tremendously with it.
Yes.
You know, and if you have a good, strong family, they can help you tremendously. Your faith, obviously, other brethren.
Yes.
You know, they know what you're facing.
An accountability partner.
And accountability. Those are different techniques to mitigate that and help you to get through it. But let's just face it. We are mortals right now, and we are subject to many temptations in this world.
Right.
Wait till we get to the kingdom where righteousness will be established, and then we'll have a completely different atmosphere, a completely different world to deal with these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for the kingdom to hurry up and get
yes,
here with
me
regard
too.
To that. So in the meantime, you know, be encouraged, you know, do the battle, fight the good fight, and don't condemn yourself. You know, look for God's mercy and grace to help you with it.
Yes, I think, and especially as we get closer to the end of the age, these things are going to increase and multiply, these temptations and such. We've already seen it in the last 4 years, how morally the society's just, more things are acceptable now than ever were before kind of thing.
Well, pornography, because of the internet, has just exploded.
Yes, it has.
You know, we're not back in the days of my youth when it was a Playboy magazine.
Right.
And we're way beyond that.
That's right.
And so it's more prolific and requires more battling to deal with it.
Yes, and I'm thankful you mentioned there are many groups out there, faith-based groups that are helping men and women, by the way, and young people to come away from pornography.
And by the way, this is a problem even within the ministerial ranks.
Oh, indeed. Unfortunately,
there's nobody exempt.
It's very large in among the ministers and pastors out there. But I'm thankful for those faith-based groups that are out there. If you or someone you know has a problem with pornography, please seek out a faith-based, trusted group that can help you or your family or your friend, whoever is suffering from that type of addiction. It's very, very important to pull away from that. I love that you mentioned God always gives us an escape. Praise the Lord. So that is a great thing for you to do. Check those out. There's many, many available online, but do make sure that they are, I would say, a good faith-based group and that they've got good reviews, someone you know, trust them, that kind of thing. So you make sure that you're getting into the right one. All right. Well,
amen.
JB has he needs some clarification on the scripture.
Okay.
Okay. Can you please clarify Mark 2:21-22? Most scholars attribute these to nullifying the older Mosaic law and accepting only the New Testament teachings as relevant today. He says, I know there's a more complete explanation, and thank you for helping me understand it.
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. I'm glad that it got asked. Mark chapter 2:21-22. Let me read those two verses here to us.
Yes.
No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it and a new from the old, and a worse tear results. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. Now, what happens is there's some Christian theologians who've decided to take this little word picture and explain that this is the doctrine of the Messiah replacing the old covenant with the new covenant. Mm. This is not a subject about covenants.
No.
And to take this verse and to use it for the Christian teaching of we're doing away with the law because we've got a new covenant now is nonsense and truly is what us theologians will sometimes use. This is called doing violence to the scripture.
Wow.
That's how egregious this is. Let those verses come in the middle of a paragraph. Let me read the whole paragraph.
In context, if
in
you
context.
Please.
Yes. Let's see what it says. It begins at verse 18, two verses before that.
Ah.
It says, and John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Yeshua said to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom do not fast, do they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day.
Mm-hmm.
So then it goes into, he says, no one sews a patch on an old garment.
Right.
In other words, the context of this parable, this word picture, has to do with the practice, are you ready, of fasting.
Well,
how about that? It's not about covenants.
No.
It's about certain personal disciplines that you would do in your faith. Now, let me kind of explain.
Yes, please.
When he talked about the Pharisees doing that, John's disciples do it. Tuesdays and Thursdays used to be the standard custom of when an observant Israelite would fast.
Okay.
He would not eat Tuesdays and Thursdays, okay? And that was on a weekly basis. This was the weekly fast that they would do. And it was done so that in the middle of the week, in between the period of time of when the Sabbath would mm-hmm. be, they would stay focused on the Lord, reminding themselves to seek the Lord, trust the Lord, obey the Lord, and so
yes.
forth. And fasting is to draw near to the Lord.
That's
what the idea. Now, wait a minute. The Lord is standing right there with them.
Yes.
How are the disciples supposed to fast and draw nearer to Yeshua?
It doesn't work.
That's his point. He said, there's no need for them to fast. I'm right here.
Right.
Listen to what I'm saying. I'm right here. I'm working with you right now. Okay?
Yes.
So what is he basically trying to tell them about this new patch, old patch thing? He said, stop taking what you've always done as an old thing and try to make it work in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be flexible in your faith and go with the flow of what God's showing you.
Yes.
By the way, it might be that after you learn some more things about the Lord, maybe you won't be fasting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Maybe you'll be doing something differently in your walk with the Lord. Instead of doing a set routine that's been dictated and is just as a custom
mm-hmm.
for it, why are you letting your customs dictate your whole spiritual life to you?
Right.
So he's basically saying that custom is an old custom. I'm giving you essentially new teaching. I'm teaching
yes.
you spiritually how to walk. You can't take this and apply it to that old thing. It's not going to quite work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's like trying to put new wine in old wineskins. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about replacing the old covenant. He's talking about there are certain customs that you have. You need to modify them.
Yes.
Okay? And by the way, we all have customs. Whether
sure.
the Christian world understands or not, going to church on Sunday is a Christian custom. Did you know? It's not a commandment of God.
That's right.
It's a custom.
Yes.
By the way, when you become messianic, you know what's one of the things that you do when you find out about the new wine of the Messiah? You stop doing that old custom.
That's right.
And you find out, oh my goodness, I should be doing Sabbath.
Yes.
So let's stop doing the old thing and let's start doing the new thing. By the way, I have a one-liner from you from Jeff Foxworthy.
Uh-oh.
You know, if in the faith the old covenant seems new to you and the new covenant seems old to you, you might be messianic.
That's right.
Because you're going to discover all that stuff that was back there.
That's
it's kind of new to you.
Yes.
And in fact, you know, the famous statement about the new commandment I give you,
mm-hmm.
John tells you it's not a new commandment. It's a very old commandment. It's called love one another.
Right.
But it's kind of new to you because you haven't done that before. So it's kind of new to you. Well, Sabbath is new to people.
Yes.
And some of the things that Yeshua came teaching seemed like new things.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want them mixed with the old things.
That's right.
That were before, the standard thing the Pharisees and the scribes had done.
Mm-hmm.
Even John the Baptist was still following in those customary patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So they were asking the question, well, you don't follow the traditions and the customs of the Pharisees and the disciples of John. What's going on? How come you're not doing it?
Right.
Well, first of all, I'm right here. You don't need to fast to get near to me.
I'm here.
But the day will come when I'm not around and you'll fast to draw near to the Lord.
Yes.
But let's explain something. We're not going to be taking all this new stuff that I'm doing and using old customs.
To match it.
To match it.
Right.
because it's not going to work.
Exactly.
That's what the teaching and the lesson is on.
Yes.
It's about fasting and the custom of fasting that was in that day.
Well, there you go. Not about covenants at all.
Not about covenants at all. So the Christian teachers who are teaching this and trying to apply to it, I'll use their own theological words, you know, to it. You have done violence to the words of the Messiah.
Wow. That's a word picture in itself.
That is a word picture.
It's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah, I would recommend you stop doing that.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that explanation. Mm-hmm. Catherine has a question about faith that has her troubled.
Okay.
She says she's watched all of our broadcasts, and so she has this question. Why has the Lord allowed the massacre to happen on October 7th, the death of the hostages and their continued captivity? I've read and listened to your explanations about Ezekiel 36 through 39, but I don't understand why he allowed these terrible things to happen to those innocent women, children, babies, and men. Why didn't he protect them? They are his chosen people. Is it because they rejected Yeshua when he was on the earth and because so many will not accept him now? I have really prayed for it not to affect my faith, but I know deep down that I am so concerned and I completely do not understand. Please help me to understand this.
Okay. This is a tough question and it's got a tough answer to it.
Yes.
The history of Israel, and Moses warned the children of Israel about this. He said, if you reject God's commandments, if you don't obey his commandments, the day will come when you will be sent into captivity into the hands of your enemies.
Yes.
You'll be subject to your enemies. Your enemies will come and do harm to you. They will take your land away from you.
Yes.
The history of Israel, from the time that they went into the land after they crossed the Jordan, is punctuated every century, couple of centuries, with all of this kind of harm.
Mm-hmm.
Because the history of Israel has never been obeying really the Lord correctly. Mm-hmm. We had some good kings for a while. We had some lousy kings at other times. We had a time of some blessings and then a time of curses and so forth. And the whole history of that is Israel is the only nation that has rejected our own covenant God made with us to make us a special group of people. We've broken all of his commandments, killed all of our prophets, even rejected our own Messiah king. And God kicked into all the nations of the world, and yet God still loves us and still Amen. Wants to redeem us.
Yes.
And here we are at the end of the age, and the house of Judah, which went into captivity through the Romans, God has seen fit to bring some of them back from the nations and reestablish the nation of Israel. That's not the full, complete story. That's
right.
The prophets go on to say that all the other tribes are eventually going to be coming as well. And that there's a series of prophecies of certain battles and wars that will take place that will bring about a final restoration of all of Israel.
Yes.
And ultimately, the Messiah comes back and restores all things. That's the big macro picture. Now, we're looking at individual things. Now, let's talk about October 7th and the massacre that took place. It's horrific.
Yes.
Gripping. Why in the world would God allow that to happen? You know what? It's not strange. This is what we've been enduring for the last couple of millennia.
Yes.
You think there hasn't been slaughters of Jews? Look at the Holocaust. Maybe. And a lot of people are challenged by that to say, how could God possibly do it?
Right.
Let me, in somewhat in God's defense, let me tell you. God told you beforehand this was going to happen to you if you didn't change your ways.
Mm-hmm.
I warned you that this is what would happen to you. And you didn't listen to me. And by the way, it happened to you. So you're going to say, I allowed it to happen? I did everything I could to keep it from happening. Now, that's the sad truth. And that is a very hard pill
to swallow.
For all of Israel to swallow, for even believers, for you to understand.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is that you and I, the reason we have difficulties in this world, 99% of the time is because of our own undoing. Not because God set you up for failure.
Right.
We don't have a leg to stand on to blame God for this.
No.
The only thing I have to say about this whole thing is God's not done with us.
Right.
He said, despite all of that, yet I will not forget the covenant I made with you and with your fathers. I will bring you back. I will restore you.
Yes.
The promises that I made to you, I will fulfill in spite of you, he says.
Yes.
And so we're looking for that day
Amen
when the Messiah returns, and in spite of us, continues to fulfill his good word toward us.
Yes, indeed.
Now, when we get in the kingdom, and we're all there,
yes,
we're going to look back on this thing, and we're just going to go, boy, we messed that up.
Yeah.
But God was righteous, faithful, and true to his word.
Yes.
Or we could right now make a change in our life and say, what God has said is righteous and true, and why don't we do what he says?
Yes, indeed.
And have a better life and be able to go forward. And yes, we're in the midst of a world where there's trauma. We're in the midst of a world where we're coming to the end of the age. And we know the devil's going to get to have his say a little bit here in this great battle with the Lord. But I can guarantee you that I've read the end of the book, and God wins and we win.
Amen to that.
So be encouraged. Hang in there. Hang tough. Don't lose the faith.
Yes.
Keep going. And don't isolate a single incident and try to make an evaluation of what's going on.
Right.
I got a whole book full of all these stories that tells us from start to finish what's going on. We're just a couple of words in a great big gigantic book of what's happening.
That's right.
And we need to do our part of being obedient and faithful to the Lord.
Amen to that. And we would also encourage you, as we know that many of you are, and we certainly are here at our ministry, continue to pray for Israel. Pray for the hostages and their soon release. We pray that that comes about. And there are many ways that you can help the situation in Israel. Go online to search for that. There's many, I mean, it would take us days to even talk about how many organizations are out there providing help and support mentally, spiritually, and physically to the nation of Israel. And so we encourage you to continue your prayers, find a way to support them that fits your best in your situation.
It is a battle.
Yes.
And get in the battle. In the battle and be part of the good that's needed.
Yes, as Paul says, put on the full armor. And here we go.
Here we go.
Yes. All right. Scott has this question.
Okay.
He thanks you for taking time to answer all of our questions each week. And he says he saw your teaching on spiritual leprosy.
Oh.
And he realized that he was a leper. He says it horrified me and caused me to drop to my knees, confess to my Father in heaven my sin, and repent all that I had done. By God's mercy, he forgave me and healed me of this terrible condition that I never fully knew that I had. As Yeshua healed the leper, he said, now go show yourself to the priest and do what he says. As I have been healed, how do I find a priest to show myself to? I want to complete this healing and do what is right. I appreciate your counsel on this.
Okay, well, we don't have a temple system for you to go and do the turtle doves and all that.
Yeah.
That we did. But I can tell you this, in the most simplest nature, let what comes out of your mouth be blessings for people instead of curses.
Yes.
Learn to bless rather than curse.
Yes.
When you curse, you're putting leprosy on people. When you're blessing, you're increasing the kingdom.
Amen.
So that would be the evidence of that you've been so-called cured from your spiritual leprosy, is that you're not infecting other people. You're actually blessing and promoting healing.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Speak blessings, speak life, and your life will feel abundant and
right.
New
your life
and
will
fresh.
Be better off as well.
Yes, indeed. All right. James has a question about names. He said, in the Jewish tradition, we don't name a newborn child after a living relative. Is this biblical, and why is that? I know a name is important and has been emphasized in biblical history. Secondly, are there names that shouldn't be given to newborn children or are restricted due to their pagan roots, etc.?
Okay, you're right. It is a Jewish tradition, Jewish custom to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Jewish and you want to adhere to the custom, that's what you would do. If you're not Jewish and you're not following that custom, you can make your own customs.
Right.
And the naming of a child is a duty of the parent.
Yes.
Every person's name is part of your destiny. I didn't choose my name. Somebody chose my name.
Right.
It was my mother and my father. They chose my name for it. I chose the names for my children.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I chose their names. They didn't choose them.
Right.
And part of applying a name to a person is to put a destiny on them. People tend to pick and select names that they think are good and honorable.
Yes.
And to choose good names to put on a person or a name that has, it can either be melodic, it can be picturesque,
yes.
It can be something that's complimentary, something that's unique and stands out special,
right.
and things like that. My own son's name is Ephraim. I'll never forget. One of the kids came up to him and said, "Do you like your name?" He said, "Oh, I love my name. My name means fruitful and bountiful. I have one of the best names that you can possibly have."
That's awesome.
And so he understood the name,
yes.
of his name, and he sees it as part of his destiny, and he wants to live out the meaning of the name. So giving names to children can be a very special thing in the,
yes.
family. And I would say, you know, follow the customs of your family.
Yes.
That is true about a Jewish tradition. There's no Bible commandment about this.
Right.
For that, it's a custom of the people.
Yes. All right. Well, we have time for one last question.
All right.
Okay. This question is from one of our viewers, and she's been following us for a long time. And he says, "I love your teachings, especially about eschatology, or the end times teachings." He said, "Lately, I've been really focused on the signs that Yeshua told us to watch for and that signal the start of the Great Tribulation. We know that stopping the daily sacrifice can't happen until there's an operating altar. And given the volatile political and cultural situation in Jerusalem with the Muslims, it's hard to imagine a scenario in which the Jews could establish the altar. But I think there's a plausible scenario, and he would like your opinion." Okay, he said, "When God himself intervenes and destroys the armies attacking Israel during Ezekiel 38-39 war that is coming, we know that the whole world will see that the God of Israel is real. I think this will be an extremely emotional and spiritual intervention that turns the hearts of Israel toward God. There will be a great fervor to acknowledge and worship and thank God. As a nation, Israel will insist on a return to the, quote, old temple system and sacrifice to honor God. With their enemies destroyed, the government of Israel will no longer be constrained by political opposition to worship on the Temple Mount, and the religious leaders will be given permission and authority to reestablish the altar and daily sacrifice." Is that how you see things happening?
I think that is about as good a speculative scenario that I could come up with.
Right. It sounds like how it would happen, possibly.
I agree that if we have a horrific war and the God of Israel shows up and there's a decisive victory, Israel, the nation, is right on the brink of wanting to do this to begin with.
Yes, they are.
They're already, I mean, even the Palestinians know the Jews want to rebuild the temple.
Yes.
And in fact, there is one explanation given that the reason why Hamas attacked was because they knew that the Temple Mount was coming up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
And it constantly, every year, comes up. You know that the Temple Mount faithful has got a cornerstone.
Yes.
They built the elements for the temple. There's a lot of attention on this. And the mood in Israel right now is, if you take a poll and ask the average Jew, "Hey, would you like to see us reestablish the temple system and the altar and the piece of the, mm-hmm. Temple Mount?" I think the latest poll says more than 70% of Israel citizens,
yes.
say they're in favor of it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the days when that was the absolute opposite.
Yeah.
So there's been a growing trend and interest for it. And so whatever scenario there is, whether there's a political landscape change, whether there's a military landscape change, whatever would provoke it, it's going to come suddenly.
Yeah.
It's not going to be something that migrates over many years. It's going to be a sudden change, and Israel will get a piece of the Temple Mount, and that's one of the first objectives they intend to do. So it is something that could come suddenly,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just have to watch world events.
Yes.
I think I have offered a similar speculation,
yes.
but again, we're talking speculation now.
Right.
We don't know exactly what it is. The prophecy doesn't say exactly. It really talks about, the prophecy only talks about that the altar will be operating and then it's shutting down to,
right.
start the Great Trib. So you were talking about a prerequisite.
Yes.
So that's the best answer I can give. It's I like his speculation.
Yes. He studied well.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Well, we are out of time for today. Monty, would you close us in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for the questions that have come in. Thank you for the brethren that have taken the time to send the questions in. Lord, their questions reflect their intent and interest in understanding you and your ways. We ask, Lord, that through this program we might be an encouragement to them, and that you will, by your Spirit, lead them, guide them into all truth. to understand the faith and to build them up in their most holy faith. We ask for that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, we will see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to comment, like, and share this program so that we can reach more people with the gospel of truth. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Amen.